frog. I live in a pond, and I love to tell stories. Once upon a time, there was a little girl named Rose who lived in a busy city. She was busy in the morning when she had to eat her cereal, comb her hair, put on her clothes, find her shoes and socks, put on her shoes and socks, and get into the car so her dad could drive her to school. She was busy all day long at school, reading, gym, lunch, math, and social studies, and she was busy after school with martial arts lessons, flute lessons, and gymnastics. She was busy after dinner with homework and tidying up her room, and she was busy on the weekends with visiting aunties and visiting grandparents, practicing her reading and her music and doing her chores. She hardly had any time to play with her toys or to gaze out her front window at the lilac tree across the street, in which there was a nest of chickadees. But for one whole month every August, Rose was not busy at all. She was the opposite of busy. She was, in fact, kind of bored. Her mother took her to a cottage at the seaside in a land called Honalee. The cottage was right on a windy beach, and her mother liked to sit there on the beach all day long in a lawn chair, gazing at the waves lapping the shore. She didn't do much else except make sandwiches for herself and for Rose, and occasionally she'd scribble notes into a sketchbook without any sketches in it, just words, while the wind blew her hair around, but the rest of her stayed still in the chair. She never wanted to build a sandcastle or fly a kite or run up and down the sandy dunes with Rose. And Rose wished, beyond all other wishes, that she had a friend to do those things with. The older Rose got, the more comfortable she felt exploring the beach on her own, but no matter how far she walked up or down the beach, she never found another little girl to play with. She didn't find anyone, in fact. For some time, she tried to play with the shorebirds, but they were too afraid of her to be good company. To the north of the beach, there were steep rocks. To the south, there were deep, impenetrable woods. To the east, there was the sea, of course, and to the west, more steep, rocky cliffs. All in all, the little windy beach was really very small, and it seemed to get smaller and windier each year. One day, when Rose was expecting absolutely nothing to happen, like every other day, she kept herself busy by climbing up and down a steep, rocky wall. She had to be careful because the rocks were slippery, precarious, and overhanging an oozy, stinky patch of soggy mud. She was careful, and she was a strong climber, but she reached for a handhold that felt firm but loosened when she shifted her weight onto it, and then her foothold went tumbling down into the ooze beneath her, and it was all she could do to leap out of the way just in time, as so many of the rocks went sliding down the cliff to expose a hollow cave within. Well, Rose wasn't hurt, but from that gap in the rocks came the most puzzling sound. Curious, Rose climbed back up the rock pile and she peeked into the newly formed gap in the rocks, and what she saw was nothing but blackness, maybe possibly the faintest metallic shimmering, and then one huge golden reptilian eye blinked open and looked right at Rose. Well, Rose screamed and she ran backwards to the water's edge. She called out to her mother, but her mother couldn't hear her over the wind and the waves. What could possibly have such a large golden eye, Rose wondered, and what could possibly live in a cliff covered in huge boulders and rocks? Well, Rose didn't have to wonder for long because a giant form began to yawn and stretch and to shake the rest of the rocks off of itself and to reveal the long, green, unmistakable shape of a dragon. The dragon winked at Rose, stretched out his wide, shimmery wings, and then made a sound like this. Rose knew at once that the stories were true. There was indeed a magic dragon named Puff that lived in these parts. Puff, the magic dragon!" exclaimed Rose, and the dragon bowed and winked and crouched down low so that Rose could climb onto his back. But Rose knew that she should run back to her mother, not fly off on the back of a dragon. So she did, and when she glanced over her shoulder, she saw the dragon was happily following her down the beach to her mother, kicking and splashing in the waves along the shore as he did. When she arrived by her mother's lawn chair, all out of breath and pointing to the dragon behind her, Rose exclaimed, "I found the dragon from the legends, Mom! Puff! He's right here! He wants me to fly away with him!" "Oh, honey," said her mother, "you've got an imaginary friend. I had one when I was your age. Mrs. Tipples was her name. She wore 9 hats all at the same time. What a good idea to make up a friend. I know I haven't been much fun." Then she turned her gaze back to the horizon, and it was obvious to Rose that her mother was looking right through Puff and not at him at all. She couldn't see Puff because she was too grown up.
"Is it okay if I go for a ride then, Mom, on this magic dragon?" asked Rose.
"Oh, absolutely," said her mom. "Splendid idea. Let me know if you want me and Mrs. Tipples to make you a sandwich." Well, Puff and Rose spent the rest of the day and every afternoon thereafter happily soaring out over the ocean waves, Rose clinging to Puff's strong neck as he glided over the forests, the sea, the rocks. Oh, they loved to fly together. When Puff bellowed a certain way, like this, a boat with billowed sails would appear, and Rose and Puff would scramble onto the deck and go sailing to magical lands. Puff would navigate the boat through 2 narrow cliffs, and on the other side, there were fairy tale castles and knights on horses and princesses waving from turrets. There were mermaids splashing, singing in the waves, and unicorns galloping along the shorelines. Puff would salute them like this, and the noble kings and princes of these magical lands would bow down to Puff and to Rose standing on his tail. Every morning, Rose would bring Puff a gift, a friendship bracelet that she made with rainbow loom, a graphic novel, cinnamon-flavored gum, and Puff would give her a gift in return, sealing wax, a spool of thread, a rusted belt buckle that was thousands of years old and that belonged to an evil king that Puff had to defeat to save his people from perpetual grief. In the evening, Rose and Puff would part ways as the sun set, spilling peach and grape and clementine colors out over the rippling water. But first, Rose would throw her arms around Puff's neck and promise to never, ever become too grown up to be able to see Puff and to fly over the ocean with him and to travel to distant lands. She could feel his sorrow about Jackie Paper, the last boy that loved Puff before becoming too grown up to play with him anymore. When Puff thought about Jackie Paper, his scales lost their luster and became grayish. But Rose's promise made his scales emerald green again, and Puff would nod and fly back to his hollow cave in the cliff to snore. When autumn came to Honalee, and the mists began to fill every hollow and nook while a chill set in, it was time to shut down the seaside cottage and return to the big city to work, to school, to endless activities. Rose was unbearably sad to be leaving behind her friend, but he promised to wait until her happy return next August, and he gave her one last parting gift, a single emerald green dragon scale. Rose had a jewelry-making kit, and she spent the evening in the lamplight making it into a pendant that could hang from a pretty chain. When she showed it to her mother in the morning, her mother thought it was a gift from Rose for her. "Did you make this for me, sweetheart?" And Rose nodded. Yeah, because she was too sad to answer back. And something astonishing happened when her mother put it on. She began to giggle,
And then her mother said that she felt silly and playful, and she challenged Rose to a race up and down the dunes before they left. And when the race was over, her mother flopped down in the sand, and she laughed so hard that Rose laughed too. And Rose knew there was powerful magic in the dragon scale, and that there would be always and forever.